Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. We are currently answering the questions from our listener in our third annual question and answer series. Let's listen as Dr. Bloom continues with his answer. And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Now, the article goes on to say, let us look at the proper way to interpret the 1 Corinthians 3:11 through 15 passage. Just one chapter in 1 Corinthians 4:5, Paul writes about the judgment. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of men's hearts. At that time, each will receive his praise from God. Well, they changed that verse with this Bible version so much. Now we're getting praise from God instead of us praising God. Boy, that turns that verse completely around. That's blasphemous, just using that Bible version. Well, God is interested in the motive behind the things we do, as well as the acts. Well, that's how they got to that part. So here's another thing I inserted. Actually, God is interested in obedience. 1 Samuel 15:22-23, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Remember, Isaiah 64:6 tells us that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in his sight. Yes, love for God must be behind all we do, but it must also be understood, his will be done. Not what we think that God ought to like. Well, now they continue their article. This issue of motives is also clearly shown at another time, which is the only teaching in the New Testament about how potential rewards will be lost. That passage is Matthew 6:1-20. In Jesus' teaching there, it is acts of righteousness done with the wrong motive that will yield no reward. That is how we need to understand the doctrine of the reward of the believer. Jesus gave specific examples of acts of righteousness, such as praying, fasting, and giving to the poor. All of these are to be done in secret and not so that the doer will be honored by men here. If done in the right way, acts of righteousness will yield a reward. And then he adds, note, it is not wicked acts which cause loss of rewards. Instead, it is righteous acts done to be honored by men. Here and now. The danger of wicked acts is they will cause spiritual death. Romans 8:13, James 5:19-20, Luke 15:24-32, etc., it says. That simple truth annihilates the eternal security interpretation of 1 Corinthians 3:11-15, and at the same time destroys one of their strongest proof texts. Remember, Matthew 6:1-20 is regarding how rewards are lost. Furthermore, remember this. Nowhere does the Bible teach one can live like the devil and be saved. Nowhere does the Bible teach one can be saved and not have even one good work. Those are concepts which originated with the devil and are designed to destroy souls. This is also the perfect way to concisely describe the teaching of eternal security, a doctrine designed by the devil to recapture soul. So don't be deceived by the eternal security argument of being saved so as by fire. And by the way, it is too bad the eternal security teachers stopped reading after 1 Corinthians 3:15. If they would focus in upon the next two verses, they would read about the lethal effects of defilement on our physical temple. In 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 17, read, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." Now again, they use a corrupted text, and you will hear me stumble from time to time because I'm so used to the other text, it's hard to read. But now I've inserted here, he must also consider 1 John 5:17. All unrighteousness is sin. Now we know by the word of God that the thought of foolishness is sin. Overeating is sin. Every thought, every idle word, every intent of the heart will be brought into judgment. Everyone in heaven will know they are there by grace, not by their works or by their maintaining themselves to be good enough to hold on to salvation. My friend, we are saved by grace. We're kept by grace. We live this life by the grace of God. How many times must a man kill to be a murderer? How many times must he steal to be a thief? How many times must he lie to be a liar? Then I ask, how many times do we defile the body as with overfeeding? Well, that's right. One time. Therefore, if he's done that, by this doctrine, the man is headed for hell and he's lost his salvation. Then we read Hebrews 6:4-6. For it's impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and of the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, which they call losing salvation, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. By this, if he loses it once, he can never be saved again. So that makes me ask, are the people who wrote this passage teaching that there is good sin? Well, of course, there's no good sin. They finished their article by saying the mythical God presented by the eternal security teachers could never destroy any Christian who defiles his holy temple through sin. Well, my friend, again, we read that 1 John 1:9, written to Christians, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not to repeat what we read earlier, Romans 7:15-25, didn't the apostle say the things he would do, he ends up not doing, the bad things that he wouldn't do, he ends up doing them? So does Paul have to get re-saved every time? The Apostle Paul also said, I die daily, meaning that there was self that he had to die to, as well as things in his heart and mind that he had to die to. And then we see in Hebrews 12:5-8, if you are truly saved, you're going to be chastened of the Lord. And if you're not chastened, you're not one of his, and you never were one of his. So my friend, understand that people who use a corrupted version of the Bible to prove their false doctrine are really taking you out of the way to keep you in doubt throughout the rest of your life as to whether you're actually saved or not. Again, act on the promises of God, not the miscalculations of men. Well, I hope this has answered your question, and I hope that it will clear up this matter for you. And I believe we got a response from this listener, and they said it did help them quite a bit. Well, we'll turn it over now to Brother Banks so he can ask the next question.
Pastor B, why are so many pastors, et cetera, so well really uneducated? But worse, before preaching and teaching, they almost purposely don't want to be educated. Take the KGV. The language of the KGV is English, but so many in a pulpit have little knowledge of what the words they actually use mean. C. Etymology. Noun. The study of the origin of words and the way in which their meanings have changed throughout history. Or, the origin of a word and historical development of its meaning. Then the Bible is a book of literature, and the vast majority have little understanding in the composition of early literature. Then my favorite. So much of the New Testament is letters. Letters were never written verse by verse or even chapter by chapter. They were written to convey a thought, a picture if you would. Yet so many think that the only way is verse by verse. Nowhere in the history of the church, even back to Acts, is this ever mentioned. Why do you preach verse by verse?
All right, this next question here is really an interesting question here, and from what I understand is that this gentleman, because the books of the Bible were given chapters and then verse numbers, those were added by man, he thinks that's some kind of an abomination. And in doing that, he also questions as to why do I go verse by verse in our Bible teaching. And so he asks, why do I preach verse by verse? So here's my answer. You have no argument for me that the Bible was written without verse numbers and chapter numbers. In actuality, most of them did not have titles. We know Psalms and Proverbs did, but Acts, for example, is not the title that was given by inspiration. The Acts that you see as the title at the beginning of the book of Acts was also supplied by men. And so we could say, well, we shouldn't even call the book of Acts Acts. It was given just as men gave numbers to the chapters and Bible verses. However, if I was going to preach from the book of Acts about the Philippian jailer, I would not just say, well, turn in your New Testament to the story about the Philippian jailer. I would even say, just turn into the book of Acts and find the story about the Philippian jailer. No, I would give them a reference so it would be much easier to find. Don't forget, in the late 1800s, they numbered the lines of pages. For an example, if you read down the page and there's 15 lines on, each line was numbered. Mostly it was in succession, so it didn't start over each page, line 1, line 2, line 3, line 4. It'd go on. They would use that as a thing to say page 500 and line number 7,000, whatever. Okay, so I'm just saying that they put lines, numbers on each line back in the 1800s. I do believe that God's word is inspired. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us that, and the word inspired means God breathed.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ. Christ Jesus.